This show is brought to you by EarPeeler.com.
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Hey, this is Jeff Thorpe of Vicious Rumors, and you're listening to Radioactive Metal.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Kareen, and Aaron.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to I Heard a Rumor episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 522. And I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And this is Aaron.
Hey, Rock. Bros, what's going on? Sorry, what's going on?
Nothing, man. What's going on with you guys?
Wow. Nothing. He says nothing. Nothing's going on. No. But before we get into that, you know we have a sponsor, right?
I was wondering, and I was hoping, because you know, in the heat of Florida here, nothing cools off like an iced True Cult coffee, or my favorite way to enjoy True Cult coffee recently, the corpse paint. For our listeners who don't remember what the corpse paint is. For me, it has to be Breyer's vanilla bean ice cream because that's the only vanilla ice cream I eat. And then you pour your coffee over the vanilla bean ice cream, and it's a fantastic summery treat. So check out TRVEKVLPCoffee.com to start your subscription. Oh, crap. I saw the bands. You remember what the bands are for this month?
Oh, I know.
Oh.
No.
It's damn good stuff, though. I actually got the email. It looks like, yeah, so... So I'm sorry, we're falling on the sword here this week.
We've got a good excuse.
We've got a lot of shit going on, man.
but you know what? Like, here's the deal. So, listeners, you've heard us talk about it. You know, True Cult Coffee is the fucking true shit. Actually, True Cult had up on their Instagram Bill Kelleher of Mastodon with a bag of True Cult. So, I mean, come on, Mastodon's fucking drinking it. Emperor of Sands, good fucking record. So, you know there's going to be some good music coming your way. True Cult doesn't fuck around when it comes to coffee or music.
Yeah, they're fueling the great music.
Exactly. You know, I mean, you know, they're possessing the demons of coffee beanins. It didn't run the way I hoped. But anyway, interact with them on the Insta pages at trve.kvlt.coffee. Yeah, .coffee. If you start typing in TRVE KVLT coffee, trust me, you're gonna find them. There's really not a lot of True Cult stuff going on there, but check them out on the Insta pages, look them up on the website. Definitely subscribe, because you do not want to have to go a month without coffee, right? Not I mean, and I know you can get coffee other places, but this is True Cult coffee. Like, this is great, right?
Yes.
So we'll keep going. So what's going on with you guys?
Me? Well, I'm not really too worried about me. It's you that have kind of been on our minds the past little while, because why don't you just give everyone a quick whys and wherefores as to what's going on in your world right now, man?
So I hate hurricanes, and I really, really question why we live where we live. Like, I literally had that conversation with my wife the other day. I'm like, so, sweetie, what's really keeping us here? Like, why are we doing this? Because Hurricane Florence is coming through. Now, thankfully, where we're at, it looks like we're going to be fine. Like, you know, because Rock turned me onto a site called cyclocaine.com last year. And that is now my go-to. And it gives a great path and great information on where it should be. So I'm not worried about us. Please, everybody. Base in your prayer support, summon some demons, whatever. Send them up to North Carolina, because North Carolina took a beating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had some friends in Wilmington that were talking about trees being down, all that sort of stuff. So hopefully everybody in Wilmington's okay. But yeah, so the this hurricane thing is, you know, we're evacuated right now, but thankfully everything should be fine. But I did want to talk care about this evacuation because, and this has made me think here, like, because, you know, my wife and I are talking, I'm like, listen, I can't leave my guitars here again. Because when we evacuated from Matthew, I left my guitars and they were fine, but I was a wreck because you know, I've had a lot of these guitars for 30 years or more, you know.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm a sentimental guy. I tend to buy a good, you know, I'm not saying I buy like the best guitars in the world, but I buy a good guitar and then I keep it in good playing shape and I take care of it. So I've got it for my whole career. And that's why I've got, well, a lot of guitars in my house. We'll keep that number fuzzy, right? know? but the point is I have a Dimebag Darrell guitar that I do not play. And I have a couple other guitars that I don't play. And I actually even have, and I've talked about this on the show, I'm going to talk about the skateboard. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking about this hurricane. And if something happened to, well, if something happened to like the Dimebag Darrell, I was thinking, I'm like, well, I probably wouldn't replace it since I don't play it. I'm like, well, then why am I keeping it if I wouldn't replace it? So, dear listeners, I will probably be selling the Dimebag Darrell guitar. You know, I'll probably post it on our Facebook page since it's very metal related when I post it up on eBay because it's doing nobody any good in my closet. And that guitar is just such a fierce, loud metal machine. It needs to be played. It needs to be taken out and just, you know, rocked on a regular basis. And it's not getting that, you know, in my closet right now. So I want to get that in the hands of a player. And then I think I told you guys about the Metallica skateboard that I have. I have an original Zorlak Metallica from the 80s.
So that's Pusshead artwork. Yeah. Okay, you and I might be talking then.
Yeah, so Pusshead artwork. Like this is like the cool Metallica skateboard from the 80s, right? I was excited when I found it. Found it in a shop. And I think it was actually clearance because nobody wanted them. You know, because Zorlaks were big, heavy decks. And I loved it. I love skating it. So I'm probably going to actually put that up for sale because I just happened to check eBay one day and saw that they are selling, and they're, and I would much rather have that in the hands of a collector than destroy it in a hurricane.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
You know, and as, there's a lot of things I start thinking about that. I'm like, there's stuff I've been keeping. I'm like, just where we live, unless we move, you know, like I cannot go through the stress of wondering like what's going to happen to my stuff. You know, and I know there's sort of, well, you're too materialistic, blah 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 blah. It's not materialism. It's sentimental. Like this skateboard, I rode for a couple of years. Like I spent a lot of time with this skateboard, a lot of places, for sure. You know, and like these guitars, like I've played these guitars longer than I've known most of the friends that I have, you know, like my longest running friend, Chris, who I talked about on the show. I haven't known him as long as I've had the bass guitar that I brought with me in this evacuation. So it's one of those things where it's like, you know, this bass guitar, as cheesy it may sound, is my oldest friend, you know.
Sentimental.
I totally get that. I totally get that.
Baby.
I am.
If you got a nice axe that you're going to put up for sale, I'm stepping out. As soon as we're done here, I'm going out to a show tonight. I'll get to that in a little bit.
Yeah.
There's going to be lots of guitarists hanging out there. So if you want, I'll say to all my homies, hey, keep an eye out on the Radioactive Metal Facebook, so when Aaron posts something, and I totally get, like, you don't want these things just sitting in your closet. Your skateboard and your guitar is like your wife. You got to take it out and play with it once in a while.
Exactly.
Or else it starts to get antsy, you know?
Exactly. That's exactly. That's a good description.
That's right.
You know?
Oh, God.
That's right.
but yeah, just like, and the thing is, like, the Dimebag guitar, I've just never been a Floyd Rose guy. I'm not good with them. Like, it's a pain in the ass for me to tune, it's a pain in the ass for me to set up. And I mean, once it's tuned, it's solid as a rock because it was built to be. Like these guitars are, and it's the Washburn Dimebag. It's not the Deans, you know. It's not the newer ones. These are the ones when Dime, and I think when I dated it, it's probably from like 97 ish, somewhere there, like you know, mid to late 90s. But these are the ones that Dime was getting made with Washburn, and just every one of them I ever played, I loved. And I keep thinking about, well, if I made it a hardtail, I'm like, yeah, but I don't really want to modify it either. So unless something miraculous happens when I pick it up, when I get back, like it's going to be sold. because it needs to be played. It needs to be played.
You know, I thought that you recorded the our current theme with that guitar, but I guess not.
No. So actually, so I had set that guitar up for the recording, but again, the tremolo, the Floyd Rose style trem, is so unstable when you start doing drop tunings and bends, at least for me, because again, I suck with those kind of tremolos. I'm just not that kind of guy. So for Doom, you're doing lots of bends and all that sort of stuff with the theme. So what I ended up using was my my Epiphone SG. Because it's a hardtail, and that's honestly like what the first Doom would have been recorded on if we think about Black Sabbath. And I just dropped that sucker down to – where did I drop it down to? I think I dropped it – I tuned the whole thing down a whole – I dropped it all a whole step. So the low string was a D, and then I dropped the low string another step, so it was a drop C tuning. And I even kept on like nine, so it was very sloppy, like Tony Iommi would have had it, because I did start with the Dimebag, and I started thinking about, okay, the Black Sabbath sound – the whole reason it sounds like this is, and they started detuning, is because it was easier on his fingers because of the accent they had. So I started kind of reverse engineering what I did, and that's why I ended up going with the SG.
Gotcha.
And because it was much more stable for tuning. But my my P bass that I have with me right now is also on that recording.
Okay. Yeah.
Your P bass, is that like a new rapper or something? It sounds like a it sounds like a current rapper.
It's a precision bass.
Short for precision bass, the Fender precision bass.
the same bass that Steve Harris of Iron Maiden uses.
Okay, exactly. I see now.
That's a P bass.
Sometimes you guys lose me with the gear talk until you kind of reference it to something that Snowy will know. This? Okay, I get it. Rock and roll.
I know, Steve Harris. Okay.
I know we're on a tangent.
That's okay, man.
We're already on a tangent, but since we're there, we talked about Steve Harris. And I think Rock I was showing you, but Snowy, I don't think I was telling you about it yet. I found a site that sells Fender parts, like genuine Fender parts, and I'm guessing they're like B-stocks and that sort of stuff. And I can actually get the Steve Harris body in the current paint job. So the famous Steve Harris bass is the Blue Sparkle that he played for. Really, it plays on pretty much all the records, all the live stuff. I mean, he has a ton of basses, but the Blue Sparkle is the one that we know him with. For those metalheads that are our age, that's the bass that is in all the photos in the Live After Death album insert. Yep. Right, so that's the bass we've seen him with. Well, he had that bass repainted with the West Ham Soccer Club logo. Right. So now it's the West Ham bass, and the newest Fender.
Oh, it's the same bass, okay.
Yeah, same bass, just with the new paint job. So
I didn't know that.
The Fender, the new Fender Steve Harris Signatures has that paint job. There was an older one back in, I think, the mid to late 90s. It was the Blue Sparkle. Again, same bass, just different paint jobs. But you can buy just the body for like $500 loaded with pickups on this site. And I've really been thinking about it because I have a second P bass. I was just going to swap the neck out, you know, put my neck on that body, and I would have a Steve Harris P bass ready to go.
Whatever you do, don't put your neck on the line.
I was gonna say,
I like that.
Swapping the neck for the P bass. All right. You didn't know I was such a dope fly boy.
Well, I mean, the dope thing you can convince me of.
Guys, by the way, I know I'm sniffling a lot. I apologize. My allergies have just suddenly hit me. So I'm trying not to sniffle, but if I do, you'll know why.
I thought the story just brought like tears to your eyes.
Oh my God. Suddenly now my oh gosh. Okay. The allergies are in. All right. Okay. So metal fix.
Yep. Metal fix. It is.
We're very discombobulated tonight.
That's okay. Rock and roll.
We wander the streets, living intense metal lives. Find out what we did in the metal fix.
Okay, Aaron. I would totally understand if you having listened to 5 new albums, read 3 new magazines, and went to 5 shows this weekend, I would totally get it. Okay, but do you have anything?
So I have stuff written down from like weeks that I've missed.
Okay.
I don't have access to any of that stuff right now. I couldn't tell you what any of it is because I'm like, you know, ever since the talk we had a few weeks ago, like I really been much more actively looking for new stuff and just discovering so much great music. It's been great. Mm-hmm. But I will share this little anecdote here. So, Slayer, right? Our listeners will know that I got to see the final Slayer show when I was in Virginia this year. Over the summer. And I think, I can't remember if I told you guys or not, but I bought a Slayer shirt that is just the Slayer logo. I was trying to find one that would be, you know, acceptable enough that I can wear it around my family and wear it to work and not have, you know, people be like, why is there blood dripping down that cross? But, oh, no, it's paint. Just red paint. It was vandalism. Uh-huh. It's terrible, you know? Uh-huh. So I found the Slayer logo shirt. So I packed that shirt and I'm wearing it. You know, here. And I've been wearing it around town.
Right on. Priorities. I got to pack my Slayer shirt. Right on.
Dude, the two shirts that I literally rooted, well, three shirts that I rooted through my shirts for were the Slayer shirt, my Kiss shirt, and my Rotten Sound HM2 shirt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You go, boy.
I love that shirt.
Yeah. Dude, me too. And again, those are my priorities. But so I'm wearing Slayer around town here. And, you know, I wear a lot of metal shirts all the time. And Slayer really is universally recognized.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, like, even better than Metallica. Because Metallica, you'll get the nod every now and then, or because somebody fell in love with Nothing Else Matters or something like that. But, like, when somebody recognizes Slayer, like, you know that they can handle heavy music, because Slayer doesn't have a Nothing Else Matters. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, for sure. Like,
it's called Angel of Death.
Metallica. Yeah, Angel of Death, right? Yeah, and it's funny. Like, Rock, I was telling you about the clothing store that I found down here. It's called like Maud Marie or Maud Mary, something like that. As Snowy, it's cool clothing store. Like, think Austin Powers type clothing. But a little bit more modern, and it was really cool. So like, I bought a super cool shirt today, but like, I walked in and I was talking to the lady yesterday, and she was already surprised because they had, and I don't know if you guys listen to ska, soul, that sort of stuff, but like, so Trojan Records was a big deal over in the UK for ska, you know, ska and reggae, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And the Trojan Records symbol is the same logo that Trojan condoms use in the States.
Oh, of course.
And so okay. I was showing my wife the shirt. I said, you know, I love this shirt because it's for Trojan Records, because, you know, I listen to that kind of stuff. And I said, but if I wear that here, people are going to think that I'm promoting condoms. You know, and that's what I had. I had the conversation with the girl who's working in the shop. She's like, yeah, she's like, nobody gets Trojan Records. I'm like, yeah. And then she was telling me a cool story, blah, 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 about, you know, some other stuff around that. But then I walk in today, she's like, dude, Slayer, you know, like, right, immediately connects to Slayer. I'm like, man, you know, she was cool yesterday talking about Trojan Records, but just now I'm like, man, you just went up even cooler.
She's right off the hook now. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it's been fascinating. Like, we parked somewhere for dinner, and the guy's like, you know, we came back, like, hey, do you need to see our receipt to validate the park? He's like, no, I remember the Slayer shirt. Uh-huh. You know, yeah. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I just saw Priest yesterday. I'm like, no way. I'm like, you were saw Priest? Like, yeah, man, they were in Jacksonville. Or no, it wasn't yesterday. It was last month. Whenever Priest was in Jacksonville, I'm like, dude,
yeah,
like, that's great. Either. So we're like talking. Yeah, we're like talking metal and stuff, you know. And so it's just it's been a lot of fun wearing this shirt because it's just universally it's just a universal metal symbol, you know.
Oh, for sure.
Even as tame as this particular shirt is, you know.
Yeah, yeah. You will get that Slayer, their fan base, and even more so Anthrax, their fan base is more connoisseur, more metalized, shall we say, than like Metallica. Like, you walk down the street in a Slayer shirt, you're going to have people go, Slayer!
Exactly. You know, yeah.
You're not going to get someone go, Metallica! Because half, like, Metallica was just here last night. They set a record for get attendance for the MTS Center here.
For real?
For real.
How much were the tickets?
Too fucking much.
That's what I thought.
$200 in the nosebleed and all that.
Yeah, those are the cheap seats. Oh my God.
Yeah, obviously I didn't go. Like, I've got enough going on, okay? I didn't go. One of the things where I've said I'm kind of tapping out on Metallica Live, you know, is that, like, their fan base, like the vast majority. And I'm not, if you're smart enough to find a metal podcast, you got it going on. So I'm not talking about anyone listening. I'm not talking about you guys. I'm talking just Joe and Jane Average that discovered Metallica first when they heard Sandman.
Yeah, no, I'm listening.
And now it's like, fuck, I don't want to spend a fucking night in, you know, like, cramped in an arena full of these people. Like, fuck that. Like, you know, so that's one of the many reasons and all that. Now, ironically enough, the night before, one of the bands, particularly tonight's Creature Feature, was one of the individuals that helped put Metallica on the map.
Oh, that's gonna be a fun story.
Shall we say, yeah. And this individual, trust me, was not playing the arena. Okay. And he most certainly should have. But I'll get to that a little bit later. Is that it? That's it for your metal fix?
Really, that's all I got for my metal fix. And I just do want to add that even the young kid in Dollar General, the minute I walked in, he goes, Slayer!
Well, the thing is, I don't know, but people are so enthusiastic about Slayer, you know, it's, I don't know, because it's so like intense and stuff. People tend to be that way too when they recognize it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. You know, and that's the end of my metal fix. And also I'm going to drop now because my wife just walked in and we got to get the kids to bed. So,
okay.
Okay, man.
Hugs and kisses, guys. I'll talk to you hopefully this week.
All right, be safe and let us know how things are going.
All right, peace out, metalheads, and I'll see you later. Man. Bye.
Love you, brother. Take care.
Love you guys too. Bye.
See ya.
Oh yeah, yeah. And every show, there's always some asshole that yells out Slayer, or there's always some asshole that yells out Freebird. Oh wait, that's me. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. Shut up, Snoop. I just wanted to say though about Metallica. I follow Metallica on Snapchat, and whenever they're on tour, they always show footage of the meet and greet before the show. And mm-hmm. so they were. I saw the meet and greet. I saw it this morning before I went to work. I was looking at what the footage, and I saw, oh, they were in Winnipeg. That's how I found out they were in Winnipeg. I was like, I wonder if any of these people I'm seeing at the meet and greet are Snowy's friends. So did any of your friends do the meet and
greet? I have no idea. You know, like I said, I'm stepping out from here. As soon as we're done recording, dude, I'm stepping out into the Winnipeg nightlife. I'm sure I will run into half of the club saying, hey, Snow, did you go to the show last night? Did you do this? Yeah, no, I went to a more interesting band the night before and all that, you know, and all that. So, no, but yeah, you know what? Just because you brought it up, I'm going to put my feelers out, shall we say.
And just ask around.
Yeah,
and cool. Then one of the cool things I saw, you remember at one point, Snowy, I think I told you this, I was at Park Avenue CDs here in town. This was a few months ago, and I was looking at the bootleg vinyls, and there was a live in Winnipeg in 1986, a bootleg
vinyl.
That's
the show, man. That's the show.
Well, one of the people at the meet and greet had it and had Lars sign it, and Lars was commenting about it on Snapchat. He held it up and stuff, and it was pretty cool, man. It was pretty cool. So I was like, oh, man, Snowy was there for that one.
For sure. I'm going to ask around. All I have to do is drop your name, and everyone will be all over it, because everyone in Winnipeg likes you more than they like me for some. It's really weird.
Well, what's not to like? Come on. That's right. Come on.
That's right. What about you, dude? What do you got for your metal fix?
You know, I'm looking at my notes here, and I just realized, as much as I hate saying it, my metal fix is all about Jamie Josta.
That's cool. No,
I'm not a fan. That's the problem. I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of his music.
how can you not like Hatebreed, dude?
I'm not a big hardcore guy, you know that. So
we're gonna have to work on that. We're gonna have to work on that.
But it's all related to his podcast and then some other stuff he's doing. So, real quick, I've been behind on his podcast. So, I've been trying to catch up this week, and I listened to a new interview that he did with Dee Snider from like the end of July. And mm-hmm. you know, it was just as the album, Dee Snider's album, was getting released. Actually, he was with Dee because Dee was signing all the pre-orders and stuff that he was supposed to sign and stuff. Mm-hmm. So they were doing a podcast at the same time. And man, it was just fun, just a fun interview. And you can tell they genuinely like each other. You know,
mm-hmm. Oh, for yeah. sure.
So yeah, so that you know, you got to listen to it. It's really good.
And no, I have.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then the other one was when he interviewed Andy Williams of Every Time I Die. I'm sure you've listened to that one too.
It's on the list. I'm a little behind. I have to kind of pick and choose. I do have a Joss to show in my metal fix here, but yeah.
Okay.
It's on the list. It's on the
yeah,
list. Yeah.
And the reason why, you know, and I'm definitely not an Every Time I Die fan, but you know, and Andy Williams is also a professional wrestler. So mm-hmm. So if you're a fan of wrestling and metal, it's a great interview to listen to because they talk about behind the scenes of both worlds, you know. So it was really interesting for that. So I definitely recommend that one. And the last thing I listened to, I actually watched it tonight before we started recording, because he mentioned in a few of his podcasts this thing that he's doing on YouTube called Metal Dudes Doing Non-Metal Things.
Yeah, I haven't checked that out yet, but I know of what you speak. Yeah,
I thought there were at least 2-3 episodes, but there's only one episode so far.
So, oh, okay.
It's real easy to find. You just search for Metal Dudes Doing Non-Metal Things. And the first episode is him and Howard Jones of Light the Torch. Is that the band name?
Yeah, he'll be forever known as Killswitch's singer. Light the Torch. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's those two guys and a camera guy, and they go to a petting zoo. So, uh-huh. And then while they're there, who do they see? Freaking Bubba Ray Dudley and his wife.
Oh wow!
And he's like, "This was not arranged. This was not arranged at all." and Bubba's like, "Yeah, me and my wife, we come here all the time. It's our place to go to get out of the get out of the noise of the city and stuff. We come here to relax and feed the animals and stuff." And I was like, nice. "Oh my god!" And he had like three buckets of food for the animals and stuff. But it was fun.
Right on. I'm gonna check that out because, like, okay, like, because Bubba Ray or Bully Ray, I guess now he's a legit hardcore New York hardcore guy for sure.
And he's a huge Motley Crue fan.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Dude, his wife Velvet Sky. Okay, mm-hmm. You know what the relationship league is, right? You know what that is?
Oh yeah.
Have you heard that expression? Okay, she's way out of his. So yeah, good on him. He's my hero, man. Like,
and a cool thing they were doing as they were, petting the animals and stuff. You know, you had goats and you had alpacas and. Dude, Joss is a funny dude.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because
sure.
You know, this was all on the fly, you know. And some of the stuff he was saying, at one point they see this goat that looks like it has a giant beard. He says, "Look, I just found Kirk Winstein." Oh. And then they kind of superimpose Winstein's head on the goat. And dude, it's great. It's a fun watch. It's about 14 minutes long, so it's cool. I'm hoping they're going to do more episodes because this one was released in June, early June. So I'm hoping he's going to do more.
Then they're due. Yeah. We will have Bully Ray on one of these days. That's he's on the short list. He's on the short list.
Yeah. So that's all I had for this week.
Right on. Myself, I took in a show.
What?
This weekend. I actually made my way out into the world, and I went to a show. Yeah, original Bay Area Bashers, Vicious Rumors came through town. I'm not going to get into too much of that because tonight's creature feature is with the one and only Jeff Thorpe. From Vicious Rumors. Okay, now The Support Act, Nivian, they're called, okay? Really good traditional power metal, really got into it and all that. I never heard of them. And that, you know, the only thing I have an ego about is that, like not knowing about a band that I think I should know and I don't. That pisses me off. But okay, like I've never, like, and I didn't even know this band was on the bill. Okay, now apparently they have their own cult following and, you know, they're doing quite well and all that. As I'm kind of doing the snowy thing, like I'm helping move the bands in and, you know, all their gear, and I'm doing what I do with Ninja Cat, okay? But at the same time, I'm predominantly there for this show, you know, and I have to nail down my interview and all that. Like, that's first and foremost. I had no idea that Nivian was on the bill. I'm moving their stuff in, okay? And I don't know these people. I don't even know the guys from Vicious Rumors yet, okay?
Yeah.
I walk up to one of the guys who I think is Jeff Thorpe. Okay. And I introduce myself and I say to him, yeah, you're Jeff, right? And he's like, oh no. Jeff's in Vicious Rumors. They're not here yet. Hi, I'm, you know, from Nivian. And I'm like, oh, okay. Fuck. Okay. You're familiar with pop culture, obviously. Remember Looney Tunes, Bugs Bunny?
Oh yeah, of course.
Remember that, right?
Of course.
Okay, you know. Yeah, but okay. But go over in Quebec. I don't know. Sometimes.
Oh, shut up.
Okay. Okay. You know those moments when Daffy Duck or Bugs Bunny, when they totally screw up and they know they did, and their head kind of turns into a donkey's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That was me. Uh-huh. When the gentleman from Nivian said, "Oh no, Jeff's in another band," I'm like,
You mean when their head turns into an ass head?
That's exactly, exactly. Yeah. But I had a fantastic time. Unfortunately, the show was rather sparse in attendance. You know, it was on a Wednesday night. The Mighty Metallica, okay, was the next night. Okay, so that's going to really, really cut into this show. The ironic thing about that, though, is Vicious Rumors, okay, was one of the bands. I think I just mentioned this earlier in the show. They were one of the bands that helped put Metallica on the map. Not only Metallica, but Exodus, Testament, Death Angel, you name it. Mr. Jeff Thorpe, tonight's creature feature, done it all, seen it all, and, you know, helped out all of these people. And it's kind of sad now that the Exodus is the Metallicas and all that, they're not doing the same for Vicious Rumors and all that, but that is a whole other thing. Just some other cool stuff. Yeah, the Justice Show, I'm behind myself, like I said, that one of those celebrity quote-unquote podcast. I kind of got to pick and choose, but I'm listening to the hardest hardcore tracks, his episodes where he's counting down, you know, his 50 favorite hardcore, you know, and I think I'm in, you know, between 39 and 30, and he's talking to Adam Blake and Toby Morse from H2O. These are the type of guys, you know, that I want to hear on podcasts and in interviews and all that. Like, you know, someone that you don't necessarily get all of the time. And just listening to him talk, listening to Josta talk, you know, with these guys about old school hardcore and all that, you can hear the tone in Josta's voice. It kind of changes. He starts to get a little more excited. You know, like he starts getting a little pumped and all that when he starts talking about this old stuff and all that. And of course, when Josta brings up the band Decapitated and some of their song titles and all that, and of course H2O, they're old school hardcore guys. They're getting a kick out of all this, death metal crap. That's all. Really, really entertaining stuff. Some new records across my desk. I want to drop a track from this band as well, 2 Minute Minor. Okay, they're old school hardcore band, shall we say. Although, you know, it's some pretty new shit, but, you know, with the old school sound that you can definitely tell blood on our front stoop. Now, with the imagery of this band and the name and all that, you would think it's a hardcore band, 2 minute minor. Okay, this is some major slapshot worship going on here. And it doesn't really come across as that, but it's definitely, it's got the feel of that 80s hardcore sound. You could, if this band, I swear to God, okay, if this band came out in 1988, we would be talking about 2 minute minor in the same breath as DRI and Warzone, Agnostic Front, Ludacris, before they've turned into Scatterbrain and all that. All of those great bands, we would be talking about that, this band in the same breath. Man, it's really fantastic stuff. If you don't mind, I want to drop a track with that. Just some other cool stuff. Floridian grindcore band, Crusty Punks, shall we say, Horse Whip. They dropped their debut record as well. That came across my desk. Cranking that. Really enjoying that. A little while ago, crusty black metal band Infernal Coil came through town, and their debut record Within a World Forgotten came across my desk. It's cranking that. That is some really good stuff. Good on them. I was entertaining my neighbors early this morning, shall we say, with some Destroyer 666, some dope, some Aerosmith. And the latest Child Bite, great band, you know, from the Housecore record label. Had them on the show. We'll have them on again. They put out a really cool record earlier this year called Burnt Offerings, which is a collection of, you know, some rarities, B-sides, you know, and some cover songs. And I was cranking the cover songs. Mm-hmm. Okay, so some really good stuff. Black Flags, My War, Dead Kennedys, Police Truck, some stuff from Minor Threat, Celtic Frost, and Anal Cunt. And Phil Anselmo was dropping some backing vocals with some of those tracks as well. So that's really cool. I really recommend Child Bite, as you know. Like, I gushed over them when they were on the show, and this record is something right off the hook. And I was going through, before we get into some tunes here, I was going through some old 7-inchers, and I found an old split with Japanese grinder Sabat and Bone Hunter, the Sabbatical Bone Slot 7-incher that we actually, the shop brought home, the Warren Music Shop, when we went out to the Noctis Festival in Calgary and all that. We brought a mitload back of these 7-inch singles. The reason I'm bringing it up now is when I was in the shop, okay, in those cold Winnipeg afternoons, okay, when I was the only one in there and all that, the cover of this 7-inch single had this lovely young lady in an Onslaught shirt. Okay, now you know how in the business world, you know, on the guy's desk, you know, mm-hmm. the yuppie's desk, he's got a little picture of his wife there to shut her up, you know, and all that. Well, I sort of had that with this 7-inch single. I had the 7-inch singles right beside the counter of the shop. I made sure that this Sabbath Bone Hunter with this lovely young lady on the cover kind of was right there beside the counter. That was my yuppie desk picture there. she kind of kept
you're
me
weird
underneath the cold Winnipeg winters and all that. And I found this, and I was cranking it and all that, and I brought the picture out, and she kept me company this afternoon as well. Good stuff. I wholeheartedly recommend that. That is it for my metal fix this week. Next week is going to be kick-ass, because like I said, as soon as we're done, I'm not blowing you off, dude. We still got a lot to do on this show. But as soon as we're done, I'm stepping out, because Dark Descent recording artist Big Grime Exmoodius are in town tonight. I'm really looking forward to that great black metal and all that as well. Tomorrow night, I am so excited. Dark Tranquility is back in town with Amorphous and Moonspell. Really excited. I've never seen Moonspell before and all that. So getting kind of excited. So the weekend is gearing up. So we're going to start it off with a little bit of 2 Minute Minor from that Blood on the Front Stoop. This is It's a Disease.
This is where it begins. Every town that swells our streets, crime runs rapid, self-defeat, self-destruct from the outside in. Within the dump that you begin, it's a shame, what a shame, what a compromise, and that pandemic swells our lives. It's a disease, poverty builds up the thieves. It's a disease, working class pleads for peace. It's a disease, poverty builds up the thieves. It's a disease, working class pleads for peace, come on! We must stick together, division leads us blind. This is our country to unite. Love for your family, trust for your neighbor, be a mate for your brothers and sisters. It's a disease, poverty builds up the thieves. It's a disease, working class pleads for peace. It's a disease, poverty builds up the thieves. It's a disease, working class pleads for peace.
Yeah.
Vaults, all you black metalers, definitely go out and pick up Infernal Coil, the new record, Within a World Forgotten. That is some good shit. That is Crusher the Seed. Great record. And yeah, they recently came through town as well. Great live band. Another band that's also really great on the live front, and I actually experienced that for myself just the other day. Vicious Rumors came through town. Now, and this is one of those bands, they never really, you know, they have, you know, the legendary status. Okay, this is your band, your favorite band's favorite band. Okay, because Vicious Rumors, their heyday, quote unquote, when they were at their height, was, you know, the mid to late 80s, and hailing from the Bay Area band, or it's hailing from the Bay Area scene, and all that. They didn't quite get lumped in with all of the thrash and all that, but you know, like I said, they were there. And they shared the stage with all of our favorite bands from that thrash era, helping out, doing all they can to make that what it is. Now, like you said, I believe you and I, we spoke off the air. You said, yeah, I know this name. I don't have any of their records and all that. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of just, you can't listen to everyone and all that, you know, but Vicious Rumors, that is the name. That is a name that everyone should know, like from our time, our age, and all that. They should at least know the name. They're right now, their most recent record just came out last year, Concussion Protocol, out on Steamhammer Records. But probably the record they're most familiar with is 1988's Digital Dictator. And they came through town. They're touring the whole, we're going to do the whole record type gig.
Oh, okay.
You know, which is great, you know, and like that is one of the records, you know, that if you're going to do that for, that is the record to do it with, you know. So, had a chance before all of that went down to get a first-hand account from, you know, Vicious Rumors mastermind, founder, and guitarist, Mr. One Jeff Thorpe, a guy who's done it all, seen it all, and this is a once-in-a-lifetime not only gig but a sit-down opportunity face-to-face, because, you know, like, I'm up here in isolated Canada. If it wasn't for our kick-ass promoter and our kick-ass scene, you know, we might not have been able to pull this off. Yeah. Fortunately, we were able to, you know, it's just, it's good. It's good for Snowy because he got an up-close, intimate, personal show. Not so good for the band because, like I said, the band that Vicious Rumors helped put on the map played the big sports barn the night after and all that. But that certainly did not deter the enthusiasm of not only myself, but of tonight's creature feature, Vicious Rumors guitarist Jeff Thorpe. Now, to get us there, like I said, they're touring the Digital Dictator record and all that. It was so cool. So cool to hear that front to back. I think we would be doing the band a better service if we got us there with a track off their latest record and encouraged everyone to go out and pick up Concussion Protocol. This is Vicious Rumors and Take It or Leave It.
Guests such as yourself, you know, you've been around more than a day and a night, you've done it all, you've seen it all. When you hear the name Legendary, the Legendary Vicious Rumors and all that, okay, what's kind of your gut instinct, your first reaction to that?
That we might get a few extra shots at the end of the night, maybe? I don't know. Maybe an extra pizza, something? I don't know. No, I'm just kidding, man. It's an honor, really, for me when anybody, you know, I just feel very lucky to be in a band that's, you know, lasted this long and that people consider us to be in that status. You know, basically, we're just lifelong metalheads that are fans and friends and professionals. And yeah, it's been a long run, man. We've been, I guess we deserve that title. But you know, I'm honored that anyone says that about us or considers our albums in that way.
Right on. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of your albums, you're out on tour right now, touring the Digital Dictator record.
Yeah.
Now, how I understand it, are you doing like an evening with, or doing the whole album in its entirety on this tour?
We are. You know, we did a handful of tour dates in 1988 on Digital Dictator album. We didn't really tour extensively. And if you would have told me that 30 years later we're going to do 100 shows around the world on that album, I probably would have just laughed, you know, and said, yeah, sure we will. But here we are, 30 years later, doing over 100 shows in Europe and the United States, Canada, probably Asia. So it just keeps growing. And yeah, man, here we are. We're going to play the whole album in its entirety, plus quite possibly some other songs if the audience is so inclined.
Looking forward to it. Is it just because of a timing thing with this record, or is it because it's, I believe it's your bestseller or whatever? What made you want to do this record?
You know, it was the 30 anniversary came up of the album. People have been asking us about it for years. Like, oh, how about doing like a Digital Dictator show? And we actually performed it once on the 70 Tons of Metal.
Oh, okay.
We did the album there in 1 year, and we did it at one festival in the Netherlands, and we got just such a great response from it, and people were asking about it. So when we came up with the idea to do this, you know, originally we were talking about, you know, maybe 3 weeks or up to 20 shows, and it just kept growing and growing. The next thing I knew, we had 45 dates booked in the U.S. and Canada, and 25 dates in Europe, and, you know, this and that. So it's fun to do, and we're working on a new album, of course, because Vicious Rumors is always moving forward.
Yeah, I like
but
that.
But we're just celebrating this album and maybe exposing it to a new generation. And you know, we're kind of one of the last of our kind, a real heavy metal band.
Right.
So with no other subgenres or anything else, you know, it's just heavy metal.
Just straight
and I'm just glad to be alive to do a 30th anniversary tour.
I know. As well, okay, 30 years is great, but the band has actually been around for 40 years.
That's correct.
Are you feeling old yet?
I felt old a long time ago, my friend. But, you know, it's all good. Yeah. Next year is the 40th anniversary of Vicious Rumors. We have a 40th anniversary DVD that we're selling on tour that from the Bang Your Head Festival. It's an amazing show.
You're answering my question already, right?
We caught the whole thing. Really captured well with like 18 different cameras, and it's probably the best live thing we've ever done. And it's really badass, and that's like kind of a little 40 anniversary celebration. Yeah, but by all means, with all these anniversaries and this and that, we're full speed ahead on a new album.
Right on.
And Vicious Rumors is all about the future, and you know, so we celebrate our past because we have quite a history. We've had reunions with past members because we've got a big family. But we're always moving forward, man, and that's where we're going.
Right on. That's good to see. Yeah, like I just love it when a band from quote unquote our time is still doing it and still doing it well. I think that's awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
With that, okay, yeah, the DVD shot, Bang Your Head, big festival and all that comes across really well. But tonight, you're playing a more intimate theater style setting. Where is your comfort zone? Do you have one over the other? Like, do you really care? You'll play a bathroom if
you want to? Like, does it, you have a preference?
You know, we do it all. I mean, we do small clubs, we do mid-sized theaters, we do giant festivals. So for us, you know, every show is important. We don't play any less for a smaller audience. I feel like every show is important, and you know, the only bad gig is the one you don't do.
That's right. Oh, for sure. We're wisdom. Pass that on to the next generation, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
Wait, you guys kind of predate this. You're from San Francisco,
Oakland,
yeah,
the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but you guys kind of predate what the metal world knows as the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you consider, because when those names, Metallica, Exodus, Testament, Violence,
Death Angel,
all that, the name Vicious Rumors doesn't really kind of fall into that, but I can't help but think, like, you saw these bands when they were kids, probably supporting you. Am I in the,
you know,
the area?
Not, I mean, you know, the thing is, we were, you know, we blew up in kind of a special time for heavy metal. I mean, back then in the 80s in the Bay Area, we just thought that it was a local scene like any other country, any other major city. We didn't, I don't think any of those bands really realized that the whole world would be looking to the Bay Area for this sound,
mm-hmm,
you know, as it evolved. But Vicious Rumors has always been a little bit outside of that. I mean, we always had a little bit wider variety to our sound. We didn't feel like we needed to be like these, you know, thrash metal tough guys or something. We were able to do ballads, we're able to do anthems, we're able to do speed metal, we're able to thrash. We like to do a little bit of everything.
Right.
And, you know, my big influences were bands like Led Zeppelin and Queen, bands that could take any style and do it, make it their own and do it perfectly and have everything fit to their sound. And I think that that's kind of where we've kind of strived to just be a more versatile metal band. So we've been a little outside of that thrash clique, but you know, I've grown up with all those guys. I know all those guys, and you know, it's all good, man. We just blaze our own trail, man, and we're just carving our own path in life.
Right on. That's what I want to hear. And finally, we're off and running in the evening. You know, it's going to be a great night. Thank you so much for coming out. One of the things, though, when I was thinking about this is, okay, you're from America. We're up in Canada, okay? Sometimes certain words have a little different spelling. Okay, now, I had to double check a couple times because, like, I'm a Canadian, eh? I had to double check the spelling of Vicious Rumors a couple times as I'm doing this, just kind of as a refresher.
Yeah.
Because in Canada and England,
they throw a U in there.
The U. You know exactly what I'm saying. Okay, does that look weird to you? Like, have you ever encountered over the years gig flyers, screwed up tour merch with a U and all that?
Well, not screwed up tour merch, because I'm on them like a dog in heat when it comes to that shit. But yeah, sure, I've seen it on flyers, and you know, once in a while somebody gets it wrong, you know, someone who's not paying attention. But you know, hey man, you know, after 40 years the drinks may have changed, but the metal's still the same. And you know, that kind of shit, if that kind of shit upset me, I'd have a fucking nervous breakdown fucking 25 years ago, you know. So shit like that rolls off me like water, man. I got big problems to solve, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it's all good, man. You know, we even have, I'm not sure if they're still together, but there was like a punk band in England called Vicious Rumors that was kind of infringing on our copyright for a while. But, you know, we just figured like it's such a different style and such a different kind of underground thing. I didn't make that big of a deal about it. The funny thing was, when Velvet Revolver first came out, they started doing this thing with a VR logo.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to hire an attorney to contact them and let them know, like, hey, I got this sewn up already. And I was expecting them to just tell me to fuck off, like, my lawyer's bigger than your lawyer or something. But, you know, or send me a giant check and you can have it.
Yeah,
right. You know what I mean? I was willing to go either way. man, they actually just respected the fact that I proved to them, yes, we've been using the VR since 1979. Right. And I showed them proof of it, and then they actually changed their format to accompany their VR with the words Velvet Revolver. And that's all I needed. I felt that was a huge victory. Right. You know, because we got our one lawyer with a metal jacket in his closet, against their full legal team and that's millions great. Of dollars. But they did the right thing, and I appreciated that.
Right on. You would think Duff of all people would have known. You know, wait, VR, that looks kind of,
Yeah, they know who we are. We have some of their longtime crew guys that have been with them from the beginning grew up with Vicious Rumors in Santa Rosa. I don't want to drop any names right now, they know who VR is. But, they did the right thing when I got in touch with them, so it's all good.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. And finally, I'll let you go about your business. Just, you said a new record will be with Steamhammer.
We just re-signed.
Excellent.
Two-album deal. Again, it's great to work with them. We've been with them since 2010. It's actually the longest company I've ever been with.
Right.
For, going on, it's going to be... 11, 12 years working together. Fantastic company, great support. And the ball rolls on full speed ahead, man. I mean, 40 year anniversary, all we got to do is stay healthy and strong, and we can keep doing this for, I don't know, you might even see my young guitar player Gunner doing the 75th anniversary. He's only 19.
There we go. That's what I want.
So, either way, man, it's just like long live heavy metal.
So, everyone, first and foremost, Vicious Rumors on tour right now. Go and check them out as well. While you're there, Concussion Protocol, the new record, that is some fantastic stuff. And as we mentioned in the interview, their DVD, 40th anniversary, okay, this is only available from Mr. Thorpe's hands directly. Wow. So, they're only selling it, quote unquote, off the stage, meaning at the merch booth and all that. Yeah, mm-hmm. They're only selling this DVD, and I imagine through the mail as well, but predominantly at the merch booth. So yeah, tell Mr. Thorpe that Snowy sent you and all that, and buy him a beer and have a good time, because it was a fantastic chat. And this is a great guy as well. Like, and he shared some stuff that was really eye opening, about when he was talking about the quote unquote legal battles with Velvet Revolver with the VRs and all that, man. When he said, yeah, we're just this nobody, but like we called them up and said, hey, what the fuck's going on? And they got their shit together about that right away. But like I said to Mr. Thorpe in the interview, like, I'm sure Duff's a cool guy from Velvet and GNR. Like, out of all those guys, he's the guy that's the most grounded, the most down to earth and all that. So yeah, I'm sure Duff McKagan has more than one Vicious Rumors record, probably, in his collection. So like when Mr. Thorpe said, Snowy, jump, I said, how high? When Mr. Thorpe said, Duff, how jump, Duff McKagan said, how high as well. And good to see. So everyone go and check that out, and thank everyone that made that possible. Another one off the list. Well, my friend, thank you so much. I'm glad that, when it comes to this time of year, I'm always concerned about you and Corrine in Florida and hurricane season and all that. And I always want to make a bad Rocky like a hurricane joke and all that, but I can never really squeeze one in and, mm-hmm. figure it out properly at least and all that. So I've been kind of been biting my tongue, but, I'm glad everyone is safe. Do you have anything else you want to add?
it's just, you know, right now it's it would be funny because we're not in danger at all, but for Aaron it's a totally different story because it's hitting his home right now. So, you know, I wouldn't mind the hurricane jokes right now, but if it was coming to my house, I'd say fuck you, Snowy, and you know, and I'm getting out of here. So
wow, but, everyone seems safe.
So something I forgot to mention earlier, you know, and as we were talking earlier, you mentioned Moonspell, and then it made me think of my friend Pat from back home in Quebec, and then I remembered something that Pat shared on Facebook that I was like, oh God, I gotta talk about this. Pat's favorite, one of his all time favorite bands is Moonspell. I know a little bit about Moonspell because of Pat. I'm not a huge fan, but you know, that's how I know Moonspell is through Pat. But
okay.
So Pat lives in Quebec, and the province of Quebec recently, just this year, I think even it's maybe just a couple of months ago, they're now allowing Quebec drivers to have vanity plates on their cars. So basically, you know, your plate can say anything you want as long as it's not offensive, right? So he was the very first person to ask for the word metal on his car's tag. So, so if you're in Quebec, or if you see a Quebec plate, a car here in the United States, while he's on vacation, if you see a car that has the metal tag on it, that is my friend Pat.
right on. Well, I want to say that's awesome, and hello and horns up to Pat. I really wish, well, it would be really cool if Pat was able to join me to check out Moonspell tomorrow night. I wish that would be.
I know he's seen them many times. I know for a fact he's seen them many times.
Right on. Well, hopefully he will check them out if this dark tranquility comes through his neck of the woods. That is so awesome. We are going to dedicate a tune to Pat, shall we say.
Oh, cool.
Shall we say, yeah, that Nivian band, great record. How about the title track, the new record, The Druid King? Let's go out on that, and we'll let everyone know exactly what the hell Snowy's was rambling about and all that. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been I Heard a Rumor episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
Signing off. Take their blood.
Visit us at radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666, and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.